Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Chattanooga, Tennessee, it's time for Chattanooga Business Radio. Now, here are your Business Radio X hosts.
Hello and welcome to another broadcast of Chattanooga Business Radio X. I'm your host, Brittany Shaw Newman, and it's an exciting time here in Chattanooga. Startup Week is one of the very best events of the year for business enthusiasts. So much great information being shared this week. And today we're live from the EDNY in the middle of all the action with Robbie Hillis and Platt Boyd, two major success stories from local accelerators. So welcome both of you. Thank you so much for being here with us today.
Well, thank you.
Appreciate
the invite.
So just to kick it off, will each of you tell us a little bit about yourself and then about your company as well?
So I'm Robbie Hillis. I'm the founder and CEO of Arc Labs. And Arc Labs has designed a device that is going to monitor and understand the water usage in locations like your house or the EDNY here. And then when there is a variation or an anomaly from that pattern or usage, we'll be able to send an alert to your phone and you'll be able to cut the water off. So we're going to be able to address all the inefficiency that exists today and also the catastrophic water loss that's happening, like a bursted pipe or, in my case, my daughter leaving on the faucet for about 14 hours. So we're based in Florence, Alabama, but we're a Gig Tank 2015 summer graduate. So that's why we keep coming back to Chattanooga to be around these cool places and cool scenes here around the EDNY and also with Business Radio X.
Wonderful. Thank you for being here today.
My name is Platt Boyd with Branch Technology, and what we're doing is combining 3D printing with conventional construction materials to enable a new method to construct buildings. So it's very large-scale 3D printing, and the way that we do that is by prefabricating large robotically fabricated wall panels, take those to a job site, then fit them together kind of like big Legos, and then on site add other conventional construction materials like spray foam and concrete and finish it with gypsum or stucco or brick or siding on the exterior to make a composite wall assembly.
Okay, super cool. So some background, I think that this is one of the big things about accelerators. It sounds like maybe both of you, Robbie, I know you a little bit better than Platt, but what were your backgrounds in? Was an accelerator a way to learn about a new sort of business? Or how did you kind of bridge the gap between what you've done in the past and then your new business venture?
You know, for us at Arc Labs, it was, we have an idea. What do we do with it? We still say to this day, what, 15 months later, we don't know who we don't know. And the most important part of the accelerator for us was the fact that the folks at CoLab, Chattanooga, the Innovation District, have worked extra hard in forming a lot of partnerships with companies. And it got to the point where last summer they were saying, okay, we think you've talked to everyone on the list. There's no one else for you to talk with. I said, just keep feeding us and we're going to keep talking. And to this day, we're still talking with a lot of those companies that, quite frankly, a company that's pre-revenue probably shouldn't be talking to yet. You know, companies that are doing 25 billion euros in revenue a year. Based in Europe. You know, I mean, it's hard to get in with those companies and it's hard to make right. relationships. But with Gig Tank and with CoLab, they had already bridged that. So that was where we were coming from. We've got an idea and we know it's going to become a fast-paced market once everybody starts thinking about this water technology. How do we get there first? Well, it's truly to accelerate and do in 10 weeks what most businesses spend 12 to 18 months doing.
For us, being a part of this particular accelerator, Gig Tank, it was because it was had a 3D printing focus. And we went through in 2015, but the year before, it was the first 3D printing business accelerator in the nation. So, I mean, that's a very significant thing, and it's a unique thing in the nation. And so, for us, we had been around for about a year. And so we had gone through a lot of the initial fundraising and a couple other things that some of the earlier stage startups were just beginning as a part of Gig Tank. And so what we were able to do is use this. We had been in stealth mode for that period of time and had not been in any way public. And so we used Gig Tank Demo Day last year as our debut. And it was amazing to see what happened after that. And because it has such a, it's like a catapult. So it really catapulted us forward in getting the press out there. And then what that led to was a lot of different projects coming in the door through that press. And so it really did help us a lot.
So with both of you, it sounds like it was a very strategic move to go into the accelerator. You'd been researching, you'd been working on the business. It wasn't just a seed idea at the point that you entered the accelerator.
Not for us. I mean, we still were pre-revenue. We were still figuring out the technology and still are developing things to this day. And will be for probably 30 years. It's something that we had gotten it to a point where, okay, now we're comfortable showing things.
So what inspired each of you to want to start your own business?
So for me, this was not what I wanted to do in life. I was an architect and had a great job. I was a partner at a firm, and I've got four children and had a great life. And so the impetus to start a business was not there. But what it began with is an idea and realizing that the potential of that idea of how you combine 3D printing with other materials to make composite wall assemblies has a lot of potential. And so it was really the business potential that prompted me to leave a great firm and take a leap and then begin the business side of things.
So what were the best things each of you learned from your accelerator experience?
You know, for us at Arc Labs, it was just to go fast. And if you fail, it's okay, but fail and fail fast and fail cheap and fail quick, you know, because you can get back up and you can pivot and just continue to go and continue to push. I think in both of our cases, you know, I'm not going to speak for Platt 100%, but it seems like both of us had an original idea. We know what we want to do with it, but, you know, it's like, okay, but then we've learned some more stuff along the way to say, okay, well, maybe if we did it a little bit differently and went this path, it would be a lot quicker and a lot easier to scale and to go. So that's what we learned for the most part.
I think one good thing that it makes you do, you have to refine your business plan to the point where you can pitch it in 5 minutes. Before, it would take me an hour to explain it, which is painful probably for the other people. This, you have to refine it to the point that you literally can pitch the thing in 5 minutes. And so that is a skill set that continues to evolve and refine so that the pitch is different than it was a year ago. And how we present that and the way that we explain it now, instead of talking about 3D printing so much, is we talk about the result of that. And so now what that means is we say we're exploding design possibilities by prefabricating architectural components. So it'd be great to talk about what we do without even talking about 3D printing, because that's really what people are buying, is these things that they could never do before. And so that's what really is exciting to begin to evolve into over time.
As far as, I think there's a lot of skepticism typically just related to these accelerators. Like we were saying before, who do you think is maybe a good candidate for an accelerator?
I think for Gig Tank, it's somebody that's got the idea, the seed of an idea. They've gone through kind of vetting that a little bit. It's not just at the idea phase, though, where it's just sketches and things on paper. The best use of an accelerator is you can come out of the gate and show some traction almost immediately, because one of the goals of an accelerator is not just to go through the process. The goal is to build that into a business, and that's an investable business typically, because those kind of businesses that go through an accelerator typically are the kind that would be angel or seed stage investors or eventually venture capital, where there's scaling the business, there's a known path to scaling the business. You're not just selling, you're not a consultant. There's certain things that it has to be for it really to have a good fit for an accelerator.
I'll add to that that I also take the other approach and say, you know what, everybody should at least try it. You know, you don't know whether or not you're ready for it until you at least apply. And in most cases of an accelerator, especially with Gig Tank, you've got a pretty seasoned group of people who are helping vet these applicants. So that also gives you some validity as well if you are accepted. And you know, okay, you know what? These seasoned folks have said, they think we've got something. And they also have said, and we think we can help you grow this and accelerate it quickly. They wouldn't let you in and waste their time if you weren't at that process or that point in the process. So I think that's also a reason to say, you know what, just go ahead and apply. That's typically what I hear people say, well, should I do it? I don't think it's not a question of should, it's a matter of when, just so apply. But more importantly, I think with especially like Platt was saying earlier, with the focus that Chattanooga's had in the past, they're still doing that with Gig Tank some and trying to focus on healthcare possibly and then 3D printing and others. There's an accelerator for everything out there. You know, they find one that relates to what you're doing. And with Gig Tank, it all revolves around those big data, big intensive, you know, in our case, Internet of Things devices that need a huge pipeline or huge bandwidth. So it made sense for us to be here for that as well.
That's and one thing point. Just to tie into that point that is excellent, and one of the things that drew us here to Chattanooga is the network of accelerators and the things that are here in Tennessee. I was amazed. I think there's 7 or 8 different accelerators throughout the state of Tennessee focused on different things, whether it be healthcare or automotive or logistics. Here it's the fast data and what the gigabit in Ethernet can facilitate 3D printing and then a little bit of medical focus as well. But the state of Tennessee has a very robust ecosystem of startups and facilitating those. And I think that it's one of the unique things about Tennessee. It's a great thing to see and be a part of.
So that's a great point about if you're going to seek out an accelerator, find one that meets your needs. Research it a little bit more. Mm-hmm. This is a question I'm curious about. Do you think each of you would have been successful without the accelerator experience? Was it because of your natural abilities and gifts that you were successful, or did the accelerator really contribute?
It absolutely helps. Yeah. It's something that it puts you out there in front of people, and you stand or fall at the end of that, and it's something that it pushes. For us, we have a big robot that we use as our movement mechanism to 3D print. It's the largest freeform 3D printer in the world here in Chattanooga. And it was a 12.5-foot arm on a 33-foot track. We got that in June. Well, demo day is late July. Or was it beginning of August?
Yeah,
so we had like 8 weeks to get the thing configured, going, and produce something for demo day. So it's an incredible deadline to accelerate the development of the business.
No, and I think I'll say the same thing for us at Arc Labs. No, we would not be where we are today without the accelerator process that we went through, especially with Gig Tank. I mean, it's once again, you don't know who you don't know, and you don't know what you don't know yet. And to have the folks like your lead mentor and then the group of people that, in our case, Ira Weiss put together as sort of co-mentors. A joke that did it really take 6 or 7 people to overlook our company and oversee it? Probably so. I think we even had an HR attorney, probably for good reason. But it's those people that you need along the way who can quickly say, no, you know what? You don't need to do that way. Or you, yes, okay, let's continue down that path. Instead, you're sort of out there, you know, just walking through the wilderness if you're on your own. And so, you know, at worst case scenario, just gaining the mentors that are there to help guide you and bring in folks that you don't know yet and to help make those connections. Because at the end of the day, it's still who you know. And how can you parlay those partnerships or form partnerships with some of those companies and then parlay that into business?
The second point is to say that the businesses that engage with the startups actually have something to gain as well, both for being a part of a young and innovative company. But second is, we've continued to work with the people that we worked with from day one in Gig Tank, from an accounting and legal standpoint. And then there's other things that businesses that we've engaged with that we're continuing to do business with. And those people that engage in that startup community, there's mutual benefit going back and forth. And it's wonderful to be a part of that.
And that's the same for us as well. We're still engaged with the accounting firm that we met with last summer who said, we'll help you do a 24-month projection for your business free. That's part of the accelerator. Spreadsheet that had calculations on top of calculations and lots of real effort put into it.
Wow.
And so that, to me, made sense for us to continue working with them because they were there from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no requirement for us to use them. Gig Tank Colab says, you know what? Yeah. They're here. But you see that, you know, quid pro quo sort of and saying, hey, you know what? They're going to do that for me. I'm going to turn around and continue to use them.
And we love to say that's the Chattanooga way, collaboration.
That's
but
it.
I mean, there's something to that.
Yeah.
So moving forward from that point, that leads me to my next question. How did you just keep the momentum going from concept to creation? Especially both of you all really experienced tremendous success, which can probably be a catch-22, I would imagine.
Arc Labs is just trying to keep up with Platt and Branch Technology. You know,
it
seems like every other week he's in Forbes or Fortune or something. You know, I wake up every day and say, I want to be as cool as he is. You know, I'll simply say, drinking a lot of beer? No, I'm kidding. It's you lose a lot of sleep. It's not for the faint at heart, obviously. And like Platt said, you can always have a job. But to me, it's much more than that. It's, okay, this is the future that we potentially can, in our case, change the world. And I don't say that lightly just because every startup uses that cliché-ish term. Water is a scarce resource right now in most parts of the country. Obviously, North Alabama, Southern Tennessee is not the best place to be starting a water technology company with this gorgeous river we have running through here. But you talk to other folks in some parts of the world, they have brownouts with water. Mm-hmm. And one side of the street has their water turned off one day, and the other side of the street has it turned off the next day. So we're trying to make an impact from that standpoint. So that is part of our driving force. And then another thing is that in North Alabama, we've got somewhat of an ulterior motive of helping change the landscape of economic development. Just last week, we met with somebody from the Department of Commerce, and I told him, I said, okay, teach us how to do what you're telling and what services you offer, and then I need you to come back in January and meet with another group of startups. And he said, you know, I've never met with a company that then said, I want you to engage with these others. But it's not just about us in Northwest Alabama. For us, I need everybody to be successful so that we can get away from our old economic development ways of doing things. So there's the motive for us as well to continue going. But like I said, I read a good quote yesterday that says if the walk up the mountain or something was so hard, the view wouldn't be worth it or something like that.
Right.
So it made a lot of sense to me that, I mean, I woke up at 3:30 this morning, was on a conference call, and it's like, you know, when am I going to sleep? Well, you can sleep in 5 or 6 years from now, you know? It's like, what's sleep right now? It's no big deal. So
I think for us to continue the momentum out of Gig Tank was bringing on some really talented people was one aspect of things. We wanted to demonstrate what the potential of this was. And so the way that we did that was we said, okay, we put out a solicitation to architects and we put it out to the top 50 design schools in the U.S. and the top about 60 architecture firms in the U.S. and said, design a house with these capabilities, one bedroom, one bath, living, dining area, kitchen, and that's it. And we said, here's our capabilities. And what happened as a result of that blew our minds. It was something that it went all over the world. We had over 1,300 registrations from 97 different countries.
Wow.
And like, I don't know how in the world these people found out about it, but we marketed it in the U.S. only, but we had a jury of people to select the finalist. And for us, what that means is that's the one we're going to build. And so to continue the story about Chattanooga, it's going to take a village to build this house. And we've got local partners we've partnered with and that actually will be announced on Friday as a part of Manufacturing Day, where we'll do a tour of our facility over on North Shore in the incubator. If anybody wants to come to that at 10 o'clock.
10 a.m.
Yeah, 10 o'clock at Suite 125. but anyways, what this is basically partnering with local manufacturers, entities where we're going to site this house, and where we'll use this as our first demonstration project for load-bearing construction for 3D printed house. And so it boggled our mind to see the design, the quality of the designs that came in, and just it was amazing from all over the world. So.
And that's, by the way, that's incredible in terms of being impact investors, really. Triple bottom line investment, people, planet, profit is really what this is about. And just for a second, just to off-road, being in the South, I think that just brings up a good point about there are supporters, even if they're not necessarily close to you proximity-wise, mm-hmm. right? So in terms of these accelerators, you get the support you need.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're right. And it has been something where, you know, in the case of ARC Labs, it hasn't gone, you know, to 97 countries just yet. But, you know, just doing some simple marketing and simple social media, we've had folks around the Southeast. We're working with one of the world's largest hotel chains to talk to them about a demonstration. And he goes, oh, yeah, I've heard of you guys. I say, okay, whatever. That's you great. Say that to everybody. How did you hear about us? He goes, no, I've heard about you guys, really. And so I think in your case, it's everyone in the South is helping. It's mm-hmm. it's that collaborative effort that we've always had in the South, especially in Chattanooga, to say, you know what, we can make a difference. And it's almost that mentality, you know, we can do it here. And that's sort of the idea, too, is that it can be done here. You don't have to be in Silicon Valley or just Boston or Tel Aviv or wherever. It can be done mm-hmm. here in Chattanooga, or it can be done anywhere for that matter. And there's enough folks in the South that want to help and want to contribute. And it's not just monetarily. It's, hey, these folks want to help contribute to this or the land or you know, what have you. So that's been unique for us, or not unique, but really neat for us to see that collaboration.
Yeah, I love that.
And I think that's one thing that really sets Chattanooga apart.
Yeah.
I came here over 20 years ago when I was in architecture school to where Chattanooga was highlighted as the example for urban planning. And so they've only continued to accelerate that over the last 20 years. And the thing that kind of, I don't know if this is a true statement or not, but the thing that's very attractive is a spirit that is not afraid. And whether it's the Harvard of hang gliding 30 years ago, or the first electric buses, one of the first cities in the nation to do electric buses, the first gigabit internet by a public-private partnership. And now what we're going to be doing here is the first 3D printed house in the U.S., which that is a community that we get very excited about and is something that we couldn't do it without that.
And so both of you have achieved this awesome success. How did you find the mentors, talking about mentors earlier, that you needed to keep going once the accelerator was wrapped up?
So for us, one of the guys that was one of our engineers, he had interviewed with a guy that was moving his company here. It was somebody from the Bay Area that was moving their company here to Chattanooga. They ended up having the company be acquired in that amount of time, but they were still here. And so he was a CEO that had taken something from an idea all the way to a national distribution. And so he's helped a lot in terms of sales, the just ideas and productizing some of the things, not making it just so idea-based. And then one that recently came on board is Peter Diamandis. Mm-hmm. If you're familiar with him, he's the
awesome guy.
Yeah.
Asteroid mining,
SpaceX he's involved yes. with, and a number of other things. And met him at a conference and just said, you need a new 3D printing video, because
well,
his videos were all layer by layer based, and ours is freeform. So,
wow.
Anyways, yeah. He recently came on board and is facilitating a lot of different things for our company.
Okay, that's great.
You know, and I think in our case at ARC Labs, it was the fact that we had a mini network there. Once again, having that HR attorney around, it's like, okay, I don't need you now, but I just engaged with the co-mentor 6 weeks ago. I said, listen, I need all the HR paperwork. Do the package. Tell me what it's going to cost. Send me the invoice. Just do it. that's all I need. That was 12 months later, 14 months later after the accelerator. So, you know, it also becomes somewhat of somebody who quick, okay, I need to bounce this idea off of you. your spouse is tired of hearing about it. You know, they've heard about it so much already. Your kids are definitely tired of hearing about it, you know. So it becomes a quick, okay, I want to do this. Well, I want to do that. What do you think? Well, actually, if you do it this way, and I've got somebody who here in Chattanooga that can help you, it's that your network or your, you know, I hate to use the word Rolodex, becomes so much larger at that point quicker. And you've got access to all those folks because they're helping you scale. And by, you know, in that regard, they're bringing their network to the table. And so that's been unique as well. And one of the other things that, you know, along those same lines, last summer when we did the demo day, Alex Lavage, who was our, you know, sort of our mentor while we were in the accelerator, put together a chart, and he showed how each of the startups could work with each other eventually.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm hoping that one day we would be lucky enough to put an ARC device in every Branch Technology house that's
built. Absolutely.
Our software partner is one of the companies that was in Gig Tank that's in India. And they've become a sort of a mentor to us and so forth. And if you do this, nah, you don't need to use that technology. Here's a better and cheaper technology or a faster technology. So it's that those partnerships that came out of the other teams as well that I think was unique. So we've developed sort of a mentor relationship with some of those other teams too.
And one other thing on that is, like, here in Chattanooga, the one that was our mentor through Gig Tank was Graham Bredemeyer. He's presenting tonight as part of Demo Day with a startup that he's now developed. Hmm. But he came in with an immense amount. He's a super young guy. But he came in with an immense amount of experience in 3D printing. And he was a Peter Thiel mentor, which is... If you know anything what that means he's uncommon in the U.S. Just mm-hmm. a brilliant... brilliant guy. And so we received that mentorship, and now he kind of began his little business in a corner of our shop and then moved out and graduated. And now he's about to do demo day here. So it's neat to see kind of the cycle go full circle.
And I love just the abundance mindset that, you know, seems to be part of this whole process. It's really nice to see. So last question before we get to these audience questions. As far as people that are thinking about participating in an accelerator, what do you think that realistically they can expect to get out of the program and not to get out of the program?
I think the mentorship is one of the best things. And then the refinement that happens. Like, I remember we sat in a room in some cases with 60, 70 people giving feedback on your business plan. And just shooting it down in certain regards, saying, don't do that again. Don't ever say that. And others, like, saying, okay, look, this is something I can tell you're going for this. There's a better way to say that. Or just, anyway, that was one of the best things, because it was a group of people mm-hmm. that you could never pay them enough to get that many people in the room at the same time. So that's one huge benefit. Something not to expect. Don't expect you're going to get money. That does not happen as an automatic exit from an accelerator. So that's one thing.
I think in our case, it and our mentor, Ira Weiss, uses this phrase a lot. You become pitch perfect. To get money, you have to become perfect at your pitch. And back to Platt's point, you're in a room with the other startups. There's no shame. You got to get up in front of the room. There's four or five attorneys in there that are helping. There's accountants, there's mentors, there's Mike Bradshaw, you know, the folks from Colab are there, and you're standing in front, and you're in week two, and you're practicing your 5-minute pitch.
Yeah.
And you have no clue what you're doing to begin with, much less ready to even pitch in front of this whole group. All the other startups are just being quiet because they don't want to pick on you because you're going to turn around and pick on them, but everybody else, I would never have ever said that like that. And, you know, and you're like, oh, okay, well, how should we say that? So, over those 8 weeks, yes, you're building your business plan, you're building your financials, you're building your understanding of the market, but it's really to become, you know, pitch perfect, so to speak, because then you have to go out and start pitching mm-hmm. and pitching for money. And it doesn't happen overnight. Now, that's what a lot of people expect is that, okay, I'm going to exit and there's going to be somebody writing me a check at demo day.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the case. And I, you know, when I talk to startups, I remind them that Google pitched around 250 times.
Wow.
Before they got funded. So
that's incredible.
I'm on about number 15 already, so I'm okay right now. I'm like, you know what? I got 235 more to go. But did it take Larry Page 250 times to get good at it? or was it just the 250th, 258, 256, whatever it is? Was it that number time that it finally clicked with somebody? So that's the thing I think that, you know, for us, it's that lasting connection that we've made to folks and to businesses and to companies that can help fill in gaps for us until we're ready to go and scale and take on like a Series A potentially. So that's been a huge benefit for us. I think, you know, the only negative is that, yeah, you have to give up some time. But I think we've talked about all the positives that you get. It's okay. That's part of the growing this business. You're going to give up probably the majority of your life for the next 4 or 5 years. But if you want to do it, you got to do it. There's no other way.
Well, the more I've listened to you guys talk about it, it really sounds like pretty good bang for your buck, truly, in terms mm-hmm. of like a college crash course experience.
We keep saying in Florence in Northwest Alabama, that, and they did all that for free. I mean, just yesterday I made that comment. It's like, really, what are these people getting out of this? You know, mm-hmm. but that's that collaborative spirit. And that has to exist first. So I'll tell people back to some of Platt's points is that if you're going to join an accelerator, investigate that first. Make sure there's a good collaborative spirit of people who have done it, who've been there, people who have scaled a company, people who have exited a company, and then decide whether or not you want to enter it.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to take just a couple questions for you all from the audience. What were the most meaningful connections you made by participating in the program?
I would say the bartender at Clyde's. Still to this day, he recognizes me when I walk in. I'm like, oh, hey, how are you?
No, that's the second most meaningful.
I'm being honest with you. No, I mean, there's too many to count. You know, if I were to call Mike Bradshaw today and say, Mike, I got a question, Mike would take my call and answer it. Mm-hmm. We saw Ken Hayes from the Enterprise Center a minute ago. He stopped out of his busy schedule and said, how you doing? What can I do for you? How can we help? It's that list of people on and on and on that, you know, I joked at one point in time last fall that I think I doubled my contacts list in my phone after I got out of the gig tank.
Hmm. Oh, yeah.
Easily.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Absolutely. Once you begin to be out there and be in the public eye, then it's crazy how many people are you meet and are networking with. And so that community is really one of the best things. So.
Mm-hmm. And then next, what material or topic benefited you the most? That's a great question.
For me personally, and for our team at Arc Labs, it was probably the financial understanding. You know, what does it take to really operate a business? And, you know, once you start scaling, what else is it going to take? Who's it going to take? And that sort of ties into your personnel plan as well. You know, who do you have to bring on at what point in time, and how much can you afford, and what can you afford? Just getting us set up from a financial understanding of what you're about to face over the next 24 months. And the folks at Elliott Davis DeCosimo were great in helping us with that. So that probably was the biggest piece that was, you know, was for us at least.
I think for this one, it was about like, how do you concisely say the intent and the heart of your business? That was for us, that was it. We later on participated in the 10, which is the Tennessee Master Accelerator. And in that case, it was more about managing the business, not just presenting mm-hmm. it and doing the initial debut, but it was more about like, how do you begin to make an effective team? How does your team, mm-hmm. what does the culture look like? What is the, how do you set priorities and goals that are long-term viable? And so it's something that really, really helped on more of the day-to-day management and like making a successful long-term business.
Good feedback. How did your objectives change as you completed the program?
I don't know that objective might be the right word, because I think our objective was always to launch a business in my mind and launch a disruptive business, right? Let's mm-hmm. go ahead and use that term. We haven't used it today yet. That's everybody's goal, right? Mm-hmm. And not just a job. And so our objective didn't change, but our path did. You know, we're thinking, okay, we're going to go sell one of these to every house in the country versus, all right, now we've got an idea to go sell 5,000 to a hotel group or at one time or what have you. So I think just the focus or the pivot came at that point where we understood what's our quickest return, our quickest path to disruption And so that was the biggest thing that came out from that standpoint.
Good answer. the objectives didn't change too much, but the execution definitely has.
All right, let me see if I can get this next question right. Describe the process you went through, or if I'm interested in completing the program, what would I need to do and how would I get started in terms of signing up for the accelerator? Good question.
I think just do it. I'll give our whole story, and it's sort of a funny story. Feats was a company that it was headquartered here in Chattanooga doing 3D printed shoes, and I literally got contracted to help Lucy build her Prezi for South by Southwest. March 31st, she posts, so then I followed her on Facebook, followed them on Twitter, blah, blah, blah. And so March 31st, she posts, last day to apply for Gig Tank is at 3 o'clock today. That was about 11 that morning.
Oh, my goodness.
I literally completed the application in about an hour, hit submit and said, okay, you know, and then about 45 days later, I get an email from Alex Lavage says, we'd like to discuss your business idea further. Who are you again? And what was this related to? Because I was still doing what I'd been doing for a while, which was digital marketing. So I didn't hesitate, you know, and we do that a lot with a lot of these potential accelerators, potential pitch contests, potential things. And you look at where it's gotten us to today, ARC Labs has been invited to Web Summit, which is the largest startup conference in the world, and it's in Portugal the first week of November. So we're going to do a two-minute pitch back to getting perfect. Mm-hmm. Somebody the other day gave us 8 minutes. I'm like, I don't need 8 minutes. Gig Tank got me down to three. I can do this in three if you need me to. We'll pitch for 2 minutes in front of 52,000 people next month. Yeah.
That's a big audience.
We're the first company from Alabama to ever be invited to Web Summit.
Oh, wow.
So that's
great.
You think it all goes back to making a good, solid presentation with saying the right things that are understandable by the audience. And then we just hit submit on the application on the last day within 4 hours of the deadline.
Ours was a little bit different than that.
You put a little bit more thought into it than we did.
No. Well, actually, I an angel investor from Alabama put me onto it the year before. And it was the week before Gig Tank 2014. And he said, do you know who Terry Wohlers is? I was like, oh, yeah. He's like the godfather of 3D printing. And he was the keynote speaker here in 2014. And so I came up and experienced Chattanooga for the first time at Gig Tank 2014. And it was like, wow, okay, this is a really cool community. Everybody was excited about all these startups. And it was practically in our backyard, being from Montgomery versus traveling to Silicon Valley or New York or someplace like that to be a part of a 3D printing community. Met some people there from Oak Ridge National Labs and then started working with Oak Ridge National Labs a little bit because of their expertise in large-scale 3D printing. And then met Mike Bradshaw and Ken Hayes, who began to... potentially looking for a place to locate the business. And Chattanooga was on a list of about 10 southeastern cities. And so we went through kind of a due diligence on pros and cons and things like that of moving now, later, or where. And so went through that and then settled in on Chattanooga and then started looking at, okay, well, Gig Tank's here too. And so seeing if we might be involved with that, met some of the people that were involved with that to figure out if it would be a good thing for us to do being a 3D printing startup. So, and we were invited to be involved with that and never looked back. So
it's nice how the synchronicities happen once you start to follow your intention and be around the right people. That's
so whether
great.
It takes you a year to apply or 4 hours,
that's right.
Yeah. Just submit the application. And we've also got somewhat of a running joke inside the office. It's like all the questions are the same on every application. So once you write the first one, okay, now we answered that one for this event or that pitch contest. Let's just go copy and paste it into the box. Oh, they give you 250 words on this one. Okay, we can write a little bit more. So once you do it one time, you can continue doing it, and you only get to be a startup once. So that's the cool part about it is, you know what, it's just submit the application.
So one last question. It's quick, but it's powerful. What has been the most difficult challenge to overcome, and how did you persevere?
Well, putting up with our mentor on a daily basis has been my most difficult challenge. No, we joked last summer that if we had spent another week together, we'd probably have to enter marriage counseling. So, but it's the most difficult thing is just not being able to do it tomorrow. You know, it takes time. It takes time to build a company. You're especially for us and Platt as well. These are products that don't really exist. You know, and there's some in our space, but they're really not as advanced. So, but we started coding last October, and we're launching now in September. We've got, you know, production ready devices. And so, but I wanted it to happen in 6 weeks. Well, it doesn't just happen in 6 weeks. So that's been the hardest thing for me, is being an impatient person, is having to face that and say, okay, why can't we do that in a day or two? Why not? Because it just takes time.
Yeah, time is one of those things. It'll take three times as long as you initially expect, and take a lot more money than you expect. And that's probably, for us, the hardest thing is, yes, this is a really cool idea, and we're building it into having customers and all that kind of stuff. Raising funds, venture funds, for a construction-based startup is uncommon and unheard of. We're not SaaS, we're not MedTech, we're not FinTech, we're not all any of these things that they're like, ooh, I'll put $5 million into you. Construction is one of those things that there's very, very little investment in. And because of that, there's very little familiarity with construction in the investing community. And so for us, that's been our hardest thing, even though construction is 8-10% of GDP. Why is nobody investing in it? I still don't understand. but it's a huge market. And so the potential upside is there. And for those people that want to engage in that.
Robbie and Platt, it's been wonderful to have you here today. Will you tell us how we can keep following what you're doing online, Facebook, social media?
For Arc Labs, our website is thearclabs.com. You can find us on Facebook at Arc Labs, Twitter at thearclabs. We're on Pinterest. I think we have the most engagement of any of our social media sites on Pinterest. And we have got a very robust social media marketing, I wouldn't say department, but for some reason that word came to mind. We're putting out hundreds and hundreds of things on a weekly basis about how to save water, conserve water, because that's our approach as well. It's not just about let's go out and build a company that's disruptive and makes a lot of money. Let's also try to understand why people are wasting water and help them understand ways to conserve it. Once again, that's not a topic of choice at a lunch in downtown Chattanooga or, you know, at Nashville or, you know, North Alabama, but it is elsewhere in the world. So we're there on all the social media sites and so forth.
Thank you.
And for us, you can check out our website, branch.technology. And there's links to the social media that we're on, Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest. And so you can follow us on all of those. And really, the latest, greatest stuff is on Facebook and Twitter. It's not on the website or the blog. and so we post new things that we build typically on Twitter and Facebook first. So that's if you really want to follow things, that's where it's at.
Well, on behalf of Chattanooga Business Radio X, I'm very grateful to both of you, Robbie and Platt, for being here today. And thank you so much to our audience for the great questions. Follow us online as well, on Twitter, Facebook, all social media. And until next time, I'm Brittany Shaw Newman. Thank you for your time today.